We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Thursday. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, the studios right here on King Street in Cocoa, Florida. So we want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. Praise God. Sometimes you just need to stop and take a breath and just enjoy the presence of God. And I do want to invite you out to our services that are going to be taking place on Sunday morning. I feel like the word that God has me to share is a powerful word, and I believe that it could touch and transform lives. And so I want to invite you to be a part of our services, 10:30 on Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30. And then this coming Sunday is our last grow group for several months. And so there won't be anything at our sanctuary Sunday night. So praise the Lord. I want to say thank you to Bill Andriak from Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If you have an air conditioning, a cooling, or a heating issue, you know, I'm not sure if you're going to need the heat for a while, but, you know, if you got there that last cold spell and your heat wasn't working, you know, you might want to get that fixed while it's kind of the slow season. But if you have any of those issues, you can call Bill, 759-3284. His wife Heidi is our worship leader, and they are just precious people, and we treasure them dearly. So if you have any needs, give them a call and tell them you heard about them here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So yesterday we talked about how, you know, we need to treasure those things that are from above more than the things that are here on the earth. And so today I want to talk to you because when it came to the skyscraper, the height of the building, I think I told you about it on yesterday's broadcast, the tallest building back in the late 1800s in New York City was about five stories tall. The thing that limited them as far as the height wasn't that they couldn't build anything any taller than that. What really provided the limitations was that the only way to get to the fifth floor was by stairs. They didn't have any other means of getting up, up and down at that point in time. And, you know, I don't know how long it's been since you've taken the stairs. I find getting downstairs is a whole lot easier than getting up the stairs. But, you know, if I am someplace and I have the opportunity to take the stairs rather than take the elevator, then I will do it. But, you know, several years ago, I was at a district council event, and I think I was staying on the fourth floor, and I had forgot something in my vehicle, which I needed. I mean, it was very important. I don't even remember what it was, but I knew that I needed to get out there and I needed to get it quick. And, I had all of my luggage. And so I had a choice to make. Do I haul all of my luggage back downstairs? I couldn't get into my room without it. Do I go all the way back downstairs or carrying my luggage, or do I just make a quick trip and hope that my luggage is still there when I got back? And so, I don't know if I'd make that decision today, but I decided to just leave all of my suitcases right there by my door. And I ran down and I got whatever it was. It was the hotel key, I think, and the room key. And I ran back up the stairs. And so I ran down four or five flights of stairs and then back up four or five flights of stairs, plus running out to my vehicle. And I was whooped. You know, that may go back 5 to 10 years. I was considerably younger, but I'm telling you, going up and down stairs is taxing. And that was the limitation. It wasn't that they didn't have the technology to go higher, but people needed to be able to get back and forth from the highest floor on down to the street level. I want to take you in the Word of God this morning to Genesis, the 28th chapter. Genesis, the 28th chapter, and verse number 10, it says, "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.' Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" And so I wanted to share this with you because Jacob, up until this point in time, and by the way, he was not a kid at this point in time. He would have probably been in his, I think if I remember my math right, somewhere between 40 and 60 years old. I think it was closer to the latter more than the younger. And, but you know, my math recollection could be off. I've been wrong before, when it came to math, but he was not a young man. He by this point in time, he should have matured, but you know, he had defrauded Esau. Jacob sold Esau a bowl of soup for his birthright. That meant that he was going to get the oldest son's portion, which was a double portion as compared to a younger son who would get a single portion. And then later on, he defrauded Esau of his blessing by convincing Isaac that he was Esau. And so Isaac blessed Jacob. And then Esau said, "You know, the days that my dad is going to die are close. And then I'm going to kill Jacob." So Jacob's name, it means deceiver or slanderer. He doesn't have the greatest reputation as far as behavior, or quarrel is another name, but Jacob decided that he would be submissive to his parents, and they sent him back to Laban, Rebekah's family, and he was going to find a wife there. Except for on his way, he had this God encounter where he stayed during the night. He took a stone and made that his pillow, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And then during that, he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder, and that ladder went from earth, and it reached up to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. We need to remember that there needs to be an access. Angels, all they do is they carry messages from God to people and back up. They're ministers, they're servants of fire, it says. They are messengers. They are not creating their own message. Any angel that is creating a message that doesn't line up with the word of God, that's not an angel from God. That's a messenger from hell. You don't want to have anything to do with that. Everything is going to line up with the word of God. And so Jacob, he had been trying to manipulate and con and trick people out of things his entire life. You know, and I don't know if you've ever been a struggler. You know, in golf, they have a scramble factor, you know, where you're not playing all that good, but you're managing somehow to get completely out of trouble. And Jacob had been that up until this point in time. But all of a sudden, he came to the place and he had an understanding that there was more to this life thing than just what was taking place on earth, that there really was a heaven. You see, up until this point in time, it had been the God of Isaac and it had been the God of Abraham. But now all of a sudden, Jacob is having a God encounter of his own. He's seeing that these angels are ascending and descending, and up at the very top in heaven, there was the Lord standing. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And then God tells him this. He said, I am going to give to you and your descendants all of the land on which you lie. He said, I am going to make your descendants as the dust of the earth. You shall spread to the west and to the east and to the north and the south, and you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Do you realize that at that point in time, that what God did was he had taken the blessing and the promise that he had given to Abraham, and he said, Isaac, or Jacob, you are now the person through whom I am going to fulfill this promise. Through you and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Folks, when we realize that there is more to this life than just what takes place on earth, when we realize that there is a God in heaven who is directing everything that takes place, who is directing in a supernatural manner, and he longs to have... Listen, God didn't have to reveal anything to Jacob. He chose to reveal something to Jacob. He revealed himself. Jacob, at that point in time, wasn't really looking for God. He was looking for sleep. And in that time of slumber, God said, I want you to know I'm real. I'm real. And now, those promises that you've heard your grandfather talk about, those promises you've heard your father talk about, I am going to bring them to pass through you and through your seed. And he said, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Praise God. I'm just really excited about that verse. That if God has made a promise, he's not leaving you. He's going to be with you, and he is going to make sure that the word that he has spoken to you, that he is going to accomplish. God does not lie. God does not exaggerate. God speaks, and then God fulfills it. In fact, I like to think of the different manner in which God and the devil operate. You see, the devil, he will tell you one thing and he will not tell you the price tag of it until after he's already got you hooked. God, on the other hand, tells Satan, he said, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it in this manner, and you're not going to be able to stop me. You see, the devil, the only way he can get people to buy into his goods is through some sort of deception. I saw something on Facebook last week, and it was kind of a chuckle, and about this politician who had died, and he went to the gates of heaven, and Saint Peter met him there, and he said, well, which do you want? Do you want to choose heaven, or do you want to choose hell? And he said, well, I want to choose heaven. Well, he said, well, we really want to make sure that you know that's what you want, and so we're going to let you go and spend 24 hours in hell and 24 hours and heaven, and then you can make your choice. And when he got down to hell, you know, it was all golf courses, and this is the way the joke was written. I'm just, you know, if you're a golfer like I am, don't hate me. That was, you know, and all of his buddies were there, and everybody's having a great time, and they're just patting each other on the back. And, you know, then it came time for heaven, and he went up to heaven, and he experienced heaven and all of that sort of stuff. And they said, and then Peter said, well, okay, well, now you've had 24 hours in both, which do you want? And he said, you know, I really can't believe that I'm saying this, but I think hell is a better fit for me than what heaven is. And so Peter said, okay, if that's the way that you want it, and send him back down there. And then all of a sudden, everybody is just, it's a barren place. It's miserable. Everybody's in agony. And the man is bewildered. And he said, went up to Satan. And he said, you know, what happened to all of the golf courses and the partying and the my buddies and all of that sort of stuff? And he told this politician, he said, well, yesterday we were in campaign mode, and today you just elected to spend eternity with us. And that's the reality. You know, that, you know, that's a joke. But in the reality is, Satan makes sin look so pleasurable for a season, but he doesn't tell you that the end result is death and agony. God wants you to know heaven is beautiful. It's not beautiful because of the translucent gold streets. It's not beautiful because of the crystal sea. It's beautiful because God is there, that Jesus Christ is there. And verse number 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I want to take you to John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And verse number 43, John chapter 1, verse number 43. And he says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Nathanael was oblivious to who Jesus was. Philip went and found him, and he told him, we found this guy by the name Jesus of Nazareth, and he is the Messiah. You need to come and see. And Nathanael was very open about his doubts, and he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You might be listening today, and people have told you, can anything good come out of your life? Can God do anything out of this mess? You know, some people want to cause you to not verbalize your concerns or anything like that. I want you to know that God is a great big God. He never rebukes Nathanael for what he did, but Jesus actually saw Nathanael sitting under the fig tree before Philip found him. And so Philip's response wasn't to get into a theological debate over whether anything good could come out of Nazareth or not. He just extended Nathanael an invitation. He said, come and see. And so Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. I did a verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John a long time ago, and one of the commentaries that I was reading as I was studying this and dissecting this verse is said that this word deceit is very closely related to the word that is used concerning Jacob, and that what Jesus was actually saying about Nathanael is, behold, here comes an Israelite, which means a prince of God, in whom there is no Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. God transformed his heart and transformed his life, and he transformed him from a slanderer into a deceiver and a con artist. He transformed him into a prince of God. And what Jesus said about Nathanael is, here is a prince of God, and there is not any deceit in him. And Nathanael was bewildered, and he said, how do you know me? How do you know me? And Jesus' response is, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. What Jesus was saying is, I knew you before you got here. I know you by name. I know your height. I know the number of hairs on your head. I know the details of your life. I know the thoughts and intentions of your heart. I know every detail. I know you. I know the beginning. I know the end. And I know the process and every step in between. And I love you. I knew you. I knew you before you even thought about coming to me. And that's the great news about Jesus is, you know, we talk about have you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life? How long has it been? The truth of the matter is Jesus was seeking for you long before you were seeking for him. And so Nathanael answered, he said, if you know that, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. If you know everything there is to know about me before you met me, before there was Google, before there was any of that sort of thing, if you know all that there is to know about me, I want you to know, you, in my opinion, you are the King of Israel. You are the Son of God. And Jesus said, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? He said, you will see greater things than these. I want you to know, putting your faith in Jesus is wonderful. It is awesome. It is the beginning that Jesus wants you and I to see greater things in the kingdom of God. And he said, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And what Jesus says, as you go back to that passage in Genesis, the 28th chapter, is that Jacob's ladder that the angels were ascending and descending on, Jesus gives us a little clearer picture of what that ladder was all about, and that those angels were ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus came as the bridge between heaven and earth. He is the one who is the mediator between God and man. He's the access point. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus. And I just want to encourage you today that God wants to build you up into a skyscraper of his grace. He knows everything there is about you, and he loves you anyway. He loves us anyway. And today, he wants you to know that you will see greater things. You are going to have God encounters. You are going to have, you're going to realize that there's a connection between you and your heavenly Father. He is not a distant Father, but he is an accessible Father because of Jesus Christ. As I was thinking about this, it's like, God, what do you really want me to say? By the way, there was an invention that caused them to be able to go to greater heights in New York City, and that invention was the elevator. The elevator could take them up as high or as they wanted to go. And you know, some people don't like elevators. They get a little claustrophobic in them and stuff like that. But I want you to know that the only way to gain altitude in the kingdom of God is not to work harder. It is to work with Jesus. Jesus does. See, when you get into an elevator, the elevator does all of the work. It rises and it goes up all by itself. So I was praying, and it's like, okay, God, that's kind of a basic truth. You know, if we can go up, we can become as great as you would like us to be, if we'd just be obedient and submissive to you and to your will. What do you really want me to say with this message? And here's what I believe the message was, that God wants to build us up as high as he can build us. And we will maintain a connection with people who need a Savior and the Savior who came to redeem the people. Don't ever become so high and lofty that you become detached from people. As a shepherd, if I don't smell like sheep, then I'm not really a shepherd. I may be an owner of a sheep, but I'm not a shepherd. And so I you know, shepherds spend time with sheep. And you and I, we've got to maintain a connection with God and realize that upon Jesus, that there's a message that God has to communicate with people who are in need of that message. Today, I want to ask you, would you volunteer to be one of those messengers to the people that you're in contact with? Would you be one of those messengers who can hear about needs that people have in their life, and you will take them boldly before the throne of grace and find help in your time of need or in their time of need? Would you be the type of person that says, you know what, Jesus is a miracle worker, and I've got this friend that needs a miracle, and so I'm going to take them into the presence of Jesus so that he can work a miracle in their life? Would you also be willing to step up and be a messenger and say, I know that God has a word that can unlock their heart? For Nathanael, it was a very simple word. I saw you sitting under a fig tree before Nathanael or before Philip ever came to you. Every person that you know, God has the key that is willing, that he is able to unlock the mysteries of their heart so that they would be willing to see and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, Israel Houghton one time said, you know, the higher I go, the more humble I've got to become. I've got to maintain my prayer time. I've got to maintain myself in the Word of God. And today, you and I, we've got to maintain a connection to heaven. We've got to maintain a connection with people here on this earth. We're not to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but we are not to be so earthly minded that we have no connection with heaven. We are God's messengers, his hands extended to a civilization and a time that people don't know who he is. They're lost without him. And he's looking for people who will make room for his word in their heart. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, that you would cause us to know Jesus better than we've ever known him. That you would cause us to know that you are more than just a historical figure. You are the living King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That you are the living Savior. I pray today, God, that there would be people who would come to realize that you are the Son of the living God. And Lord, I pray that you would keep us connected to you in such an extent that we will have a message of life to share with our community, that we would have a connection with you that people would see and they would know, I can contact that person and they are going to pray and God is going to do a great miracle on my behalf. God, keep us connected to you. Keep us connected to those around us in Jesus' name. You have a great day. We will see you here tomorrow on the Refresh Radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.